Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's happening? Tinky and Tierney ready to go on this Thursday, and we are pretty stacked. A lot of NBA, great football tonight, week 11. Let's get into it here. Coming to you from our studio, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So, on this Thursday, as we sit around the country, we've got a lot to react to. We've got a huge injury. NBA draft, we'll get to that stuff next segment, but boy, shot heard around the NBA, as we know now, when it kind of trickled in last night. And funny, because when you start to get the news with Clay, not that they weren't reputable sources, but they weren't sources that I was overly familiar with. It wasn't Woj, it wasn't Shams, it was a few other people, a few verified accounts who said that he had hurt his, first of all, hurt a lower extremity, but then it started to kind of take some traction that it was the Achilles. You know, the way the Achilles goes, the Warriors pretty much knew that they were in trouble, or Clay was in trouble last night. The MRI merely confirms it today. Out for the season, two straight seasons gone. And yeah. Listen, you know what, Teak? To me, you know who loses here? I mean, obviously the Warriors and Warrior fans.
We as fans
lose.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
We lose. I've got a question for the most astute NBA fan out there, all right? Name a dynasty that was shortened or severed because of injury. Think about that. Name a dynasty that ended because of injury. The Bad Boys got old.
Yep.
The Celtics got old.
That's
I'm talking about the mid-Celtic, mid-80s. The Lakers got old and Magic with the HIV, but that was even after Kareem was gone. They were old. The Bulls, you know, obviously things changed there. Michael was getting older and Scottie wanted to get paid.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's just... You really don't see this too often. It's a real, it's a tough blow for the NBA, and I feel terribly for Klay Thompson.
I do as well, BT, because we know that, you know, Klay Thompson is one of the elite two men in the NBA, right? I'm talking about both as a shooting guard and as a defender, but also as a second fiddle to the best shooter, the best three-point shooter in the history of the NBA, talking about Steph Curry. He fits the role perfectly. Like, his personality is perfect for it. Like, he's not even like Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen, you know, was a little bit braggadocious as the two guy, Michael Jordan. Klay Thompson is perfect demeanor. He's perfect. Level. He shows up. He does his job on both sides of the court. And some of those days when you need him to be superhero, he'll go score 30 in a quarter, right?
38, so, actually.
Exactly right. I was being like just average, but to get it specifically, 38 and a quarter, man. It's just they're going to miss him so much. Mm-hmm. And as I look at this this Golden State Warriors team, there's just no way you replace. You can replace maybe his scoring, but you're not replacing what he is in total to this team. And that's just a shame for the Warriors and to the NBA. But, you know, just like any other sport, everything goes on. You move forward, you keep going forward, you find a way. But my expectations are severely dented right now about the Golden State Warriors.
No, they have no chance to win a championship. At this point, it's absolutely over, in terms, at least for this year. And I think for good, in terms of being a truly... Forget about dynasty that day. I mean, they probably weren't going to be dynastic this year because things have changed in the Western Conference. But you at least wanted to see them get a chance to defend the throne and that what was rightfully theirs. I mean, you know, last year was just weird in totality. But his knee explodes and Curry missed time. And it was a complete reboot. They had the great fortune for being a team with so many players to get the second overall pick. And I want to get to that after, because I really believe, and DeSo and I were talking about this before the show, I believe that their GM, Bob Myers, knew And check my tweets from 15 hours ago. You know what the Achilles. So I do want to at least probe for a few minutes. Should they maybe have drafted differently? The answer isn't necessarily yes,
yeah.
But I think it's an interesting conversation. And now you look at it here, because now, you know, by the time he comes back, so he's going to be 31 in February, 32 when he comes back, reconstructed knee, completely repaired Achilles. His game is based on movement. He's one of the great off-the-ball offensive players in the history of the game.
Yep.
Right there with Rip Hamilton. Right there with Reggie Miller. And then you throw in Steph. Steph's 32 this season, 33 when Klay comes back. It's going to be season number 13. A lot of miles, a lot of playoff games. Luka will be flexing by then, and he already is.
Yeah.
Zion will be flexing by then. Ja Morant will be flexing by then. So this takeover of the Western Conference, where there were signs a year ago, the Warriors, I believe, are going to be unceremoniously left in the rearview mirror. And it's sad.
Yeah.
One thing to lose. You know, you walk off the court, the confetti hits you, better team won. We can take that on the chin, and we can compartmentalize in our minds. Hey, it's over. It expired. Things happen. You don't get a finite window to be great or to be a champion. But to have the Achilles and the knee, and it's just... It really, I don't say it's unfair, because he got his contract.
Yeah.
Thankfully that happened.
Yeah, for him.
He signed that last summer in 19, the 5-year max. But they have got a long mountain to climb, and they're going to be fun on certain nights because of Steph. Now, you want to go out there, you want to make a move for DeMar DeRozan? I mean, there's other things to
but
do.
But does that fix
no.
anything?
No, you know what I mean? That's what I was going to say. No, it does not fix
it. I mean, DeMar DeRozan.
It does not make them the Warriors.
Yeah, he's a good piece, no. But he doesn't play like they play. He doesn't play whipping the ball around. And as you were just mentioning, all of the whoever's off the ball doesn't stop moving. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Steph Curry, I get exhausted watching him as he's trying to run these back screens and, you know, in and out. He's basically weaving through traffic, just trying to find an open spot or an open lane around the outside the perimeter. And it takes elite athleticism and also being able to catch and shoot with traffic in your face. And I like DeMar DeRozan. He's not that guy. And so
no. And so
who are you going to get to fill that void for you? I mean, can Andrew Wiggins start to play that role a little
bit? Better.
I mean, he's going to have to. I mean, he's not nearly a good enough three-point shooter to do so. I'm not saying he's bad.
No.
He's only 33% or so on his career. He's not horrible at it, but it's not Klay Thompson. It's not, we need you to knock down the next six of these in order for us to win and then pull away. He's not that guy. And so... it brings you to your question. Should they have gone in a different direction, BT, in the draft last night after learning this? Because they knew. I mean, they knew, right? The timeline was well in time for them to know that this is a serious injury by Klay Thompson. Because as much as you want to get it re-diagnosed at a medical facility, when you're on the ground and you're playing with his kid, you know it's not there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? You did this, BT.
I did.
You know it's not there. You know. That it's over. So they had time to adjust, but I mean, is it fair to think that they could have? That's the only question you gotta worry about. Could they have changed their mind after putting all this time in the
draft
board?
Well, they could have. They certainly could have. Yeah, I think that they could have. I just want to go back to something I tweeted last night. This is actually 19 hours ago, pardon me. So this when it first came in, and my first tweet about Klay was, I said, incredibly vague reports regarding Klay's lower leg injury screams Achilles. If so, you have to wonder how this alters their draft plan for tonight. Very well could slash should. Then I subtweeted, and I said, trying to avoid the conjecture game here, but with any Achilles injury, you know right away, a trainer administers the Thompson's test. It is the most basic. They don't even teach this in medical school. That's so easy.
Yeah.
You grab the calf. You're face down on a table, right? Grab the calf. It's called the Thompson's test. Squeeze the calf. If you get plantar flexion, if the foot goes up a little bit, it means it's still connected. If the foot lays dormant despite you squeezing, it means you've got a rupture. Now, there are varying degrees of rupture. I had a full rupture.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have a full rupture because it rolls up like a lampshade, literally, Kevin Durant. Remember the slow motion play? You can see it rolling up his sock and going up his calf. So you know. So when, you know, these reports, while it wasn't confirmed, and there's no need to rush to this, so I understand that from a reporter's point of view, you wanted to play the prudent game. But from Bob Myers and the Warriors' point of view, you know, you knew that this was incredibly ominous, I would have drafted LaMelo Ball. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, but
I would have drafted LaMelo Ball.
But
if LaMelo Ball is going to be as good as a lot of people think he will be, you get him in a winning culture. You get him around Steph. No, he doesn't address Klay's absence this year. But if he becomes what most people think he will become, then you've got a bridge to be, you know, maybe you have the player to offset Morant or Zion or the Denver Nuggets with Murray and Jokic. I don't know.
Yeah, I just got to
say. I don't think Wiseman's that bridge.
I have to see more of LaMelo Ball. I don't think Wiseman's that bridge either. But
and I'm not
saying
it's a bad pick. Wiseman's good.
Look, I think this draft, I think it's unfair to say change at the last minute. Because I think that this draft in particular, and this is only specific to this draft, because there was no surefire, this guy is destined for the Hall of Fame, or this kid is going to be the rookie of the year. There wasn't that player that you could say that about in this year's draft. And so I think a lot of the mentalities of the front offices were, we're just going to take the best available player. Right, I think that's why Anthony Edwards went number one to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think it's why James Wiseman went number two to the Golden State Warriors, and why LaMelo went to Charlotte. It was, we're going to take the best player that we believe is on the board, and I felt like that was the whole way down in this year's draft. And so, to me, the guy with the most upside for the Warriors was James Wiseman. Now, obviously, he doesn't address winning now. Maybe he does, but he's not winning now with Klay Thompson not available, but I think it's just too hard to have adjusted and said, well, we're going to get LaMelo now. Then what are we going to do with Andrew Wiggins? And, you know, maybe they didn't want to deal with his pops, or I don't know.
No,
I think that they had in their mind, we're drafting the best available player. And to them, it was James Wiseman.
And listen, by the way, Teek, if anybody earned the benefit of the doubt in terms of drafting and developing, it's the Golden State Warriors. They took Steph. They took Klay. I remember when Klay was drafted. No, first of all, nobody really knew a lot about him.
I knew nothing about him. I knew his pops.
It was pops.
I didn't know anything about Klay Thompson.
No, I mean, I knew he could shoot, obviously, doing college basketball. But I'm 3,000 miles away, and I didn't see Washington State play a ton. Nobody really did.
No.
But you knew that he was incredibly viable. He had the bloodlines with his dad, but you didn't know that he would be this. They drafted Draymond in round two. If any franchise, they elevated Bob Myers to the GM spot. He used to be an agent, really the first team to do it. That the Mets tried that with Brody Van Wagen, and that was a mess.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work. Everything.
You better hope Leon Rose does it right.
Oh, man, I hope. By the way, I like Toppin. I don't love what the Knicks did last night. Listen, I mean, Toppin very well might win the Rookie of the Year. I think they may have missed a little bit, but most of the draft stuff that we will do is next segment. But here's why I disagree, all right? So, while you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and they've certainly earned it, so you know that you're picking second. You knew that for months, right? And there were so many rumblings, given the uncertainty on the draft board. Well, maybe the Warriors get out of two and they trade down or they do this. So with all those rumblings flying around, they are born out of something that is somewhat factual, which means they didn't just lock into James Wiseman at number one.
Yeah.
When you have number two and you're rumored, strongly inferred that you might trade out, you're doing your homework on 3, 4, 5 other guys. So even if they didn't trade out of two, which they obviously did not, they could have reversed course and had plenty of intel on guys that still they could have taken at two, or they could have then traded out of two.
True.
And still had the intel on the guys that they may have drafted, including LaMelo Ball.
I just think it's just too short of a time frame to change your mind on what your plan was. And look, you have a plan, you go forward. Do I think that they had any reservations about Klay Thompson coming into this season? I mean, maybe. He tore his ACL. Think about this. He tore his ACL. He's an athletic defender and scorer for their team, and he tears his ACL. There's no guarantee he's coming back and being Klay Thompson that we all remember, you know, two-way great player in the NBA. We didn't know that. So I think that, yes, they expected him to be back and to be close to Klay, but they couldn't just said, you're going to be Klay pre-ACL injury. So I think that even though he did get hurt, I don't think that they're changing their philosophy was changing, because I think there was still some doubt about Klay's health anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he was in a full practice and we'd seen him play a pickup game or whatever, an exhibition game or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think that they made the move based on the future and not based on, you know, right now. Right now we need this guy to replace this guy. That's not what they were thinking. They were thinking we need someone who can contribute fruit right now, but more importantly, we can potentially develop into a star in the future. And James Wiseman fit the bill.
Yeah, and you know, by the way, I'm not as sold that they weren't, you're never sure, clearly. Yeah. Everybody's knee is structured and wired differently, especially after surgery, but I think that Clay could have come back last year. I believe that and it was the prudent thing not to force him back, but structurally, I believe that he was sound a year, well, not a full year ago, but going back certainly.
Last season, yeah.
Yeah, there was rumblings, Clay might come back, and they did the smart thing, and they said, you know what, no, we're going to reboot. And we're going to shut down Steph. We're going to take it on the chin. We'll get a premium pick. We'll come back. We'll get loaded, and we'll go after it full board in 2020, 2021. But, you know, the tough thing about Clay is that he's the best kind of star. He's self-motivated. He's humble. He's offensively efficient. He's defensively efficient. He's low maintenance. He's pliable in the sense that he doesn't have to be the guy.
Yep.
You know, with those numbers, a two-way star, and this is something, you know, you mentioned Pippen, although Pippen certainly knew his spot next to Jordan, but the ego, while I'm sure he had it, all the great ones do, he was able to suppress it for the betterment of the team. And, you know, who lost out on the most shots when KD came in? It was Clay.
That's right.
It wasn't Steph. I think it was 19, whatever it was, it may have been, 19 sounds high. Whatever the amount of attempts were per game with Durant and Curry, it was separated by 0.2 of one field goal attempt the first year they played together. Whereas Clay, you know, it's not like he went to Draymond Green offensive shot selection, but all of a sudden he, you know, those 3, 4, 5 open looks that they had run for him each night, they kind of went by the wayside. You know, this is it. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but I just don't. When the Warriors come back with Clay, and he will come back. Now it's like, okay, now you're watching the other side of Steph Curry's career. You have to hope that Wiseman becomes what they think that he will become. And if that's the case, that's great. But even when he eventually pops, then Curry's going to start filtering out. You're going to have a lot of money attached to those two guys. And it's just a very different sequence of events. And we started the show with me asking Tiki the question, has there ever been a dynasty in the NBA? Football's different. Baseball's even a little different. Free agency. In the NBA that has had their run prematurely end due to injury, an already established dynasty? And my answer is no. And because of that, we all lose out, not just the Warrior fans. It's a great team, and it was great for the league. The aesthetics of how they play, it was poetry. And that's no guarantee we ever see that again.
No, you're right. Because it takes unselfish superstars. Not unselfish, like good players. Unselfish superstars to do that.
That's true. All right, Teak, let's get into the draft. Let's get into that specifically here. Should we do the old 1997 radio shtick? You know, who were the winners and the losers for the draft?
Nobody else knows either.
I was going to say, we barely know. Nobody knows. How funny would that be? We told you for months, hey, this draft is a crapshoot. Nobody knows. And then we get on the next day. This team won, this team lost. So to determine or assign definitive grades is boring and ridiculous, but there were some moves that we could certainly discuss where there were other avenues to explore, and we'll do that coming up. And by the way, I thought ESPN did a great job with the draft last night. I really did. It looked good. The interviews were great. Good stuff. I enjoyed the coverage, and we'll get to that more coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. It's 855-212-4CBS. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, GEICO.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully everybody's doing great, and hopefully your team did well. Hopefully you're happy. Yeah, listen, I mean, it is amazing. I love the engagement. You know this. Like, one thing, you don't bother too much. You definitely don't bother going back and forth with fans about debating things. I love doing that. I enjoy it. It's the essence of what we do on the radio. To me, it's an extension of it. I've always enjoyed it, right? But I notice in particular, drafts are frustrating. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what you think, and no matter how well you detail your position, it's usually twisted, and then you're almost defending positions that you didn't make. Like, I found myself last night.
I didn't say that. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. I found myself last night having to, like, flat out say, Obi Toppin's really good. That's not the issue. It's, did they take the right guy? And they're talking about the Knicks. I mean, you know that I wanted Halliburton. I said that when we got off the air last night. I said, Tyrese Halliburton's the one that I wanted.
And he fell really low.
He fell low. Well, listen, hey, so did Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. That means nothing to me. So you know how many guys fought? And by the way, Obi Toppin fell low.
Yeah,
because he was there at 8. He was supposed to go top 5. The Cavaliers thought they were the kid from Israel. Denny Avdija. He fell. He fell hard. So I'm not going to waste anybody's time, nor is Tiki, assigning winning and losing grades. But what we can do is at least get a sense of, you know, what is the most, or I think we could jump into this as a good start off point. What was the most interesting aspect of the draft last night to you? What was the thing that jumped out that said, man, that's either not what I expected or that's something I think is pretty
cool? Well, I mean, really nothing with the kids because I don't know a lot about, you know, any of these kids because they're all freshmen. I didn't see them play in the NCAA tournament, so I didn't develop like this deeper understanding of who they were and how they play on a big stage. So it's not, for me, it wasn't that. For me, I get caught in families, and so as much as I don't want to say dislike because I actually kind of like the Bulls. Like LeVar he's a maniac, but he loves his kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he pushed them to be great, and now he's got two of his sons and drafted in the top three in the NBA, which is, I mean, it's just amazing to think about that. I wanted to see where Cole Anthony got drafted, and
a little higher than we thought.
Falling maybe back to the end, or maybe even in the second round, with how poorly he played, but also how unhealthy he was at UNC. But he went 15 to Orlando. Magic, yeah. And so like that, those were more the stories for me. And as much as I didn't want to, you know, lap into that ball world, I kind of got sucked into it a little bit because it's just amazing to think about that. You're a bombastic, loudmouth father of three boys, all obsessed with basketball, and two of them get drafted in the lottery of the NBA draft. It's just, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like the Mannings, but you know, the regality's not there. You know what I mean?
LeVar's not Archie.
Exactly. But
I mean, LeVar's a practice squad guy, which is more than a lot of people accomplished in terms of pro, more than I accomplished.
True.
He was on a pro foot. He had a pro contract.
That's right. But that was the story that got me. It was just kind of really cool. It makes you realize, LeVar's a blowhard, but he did a hell of a job raising his kids.
That was not lost on me either. I was thinking the same exact thing when he was sitting there, when LaMelo's sitting there on the couch and his dad is to his left and his mom and he's got the family behind him over there. And, you know, I'm sitting there. I was thinking the same exact thing because I remember when Teek and I had him on the show. We had him on. And
we thought we were going to hate him.
I love talking to him.
We actually loved him, man.
We had him two segments, matter
of fact. Right. That's right.
And this is years. This is before Lonzo was drafted.
That's right.
And so this is years ago at this point. And we had him on, and I didn't know which way it was going to go because I think he may have been on with Colin at that point. Maybe. This was way before the whole interview, you know, car wash. I mean, he wasn't on a lot of shows. And we had him on, and I thought he was so engaging, and we laughed a lot. We challenged him. I mean, it was a great spot. Then I got to take this. It's business. Then he leaves us hanging.
I know. We're like, what are you talking about?
Then he calls us back. We wound up doing two segments. And for all the bluster and all the conversations we've had, and some of the missteps going to, you know, and it seemed like a third world basketball civilization in the middle of nowhere. And then his son winds up going to, you know, Australia, and is Lonzo really as good as we thought? The other one gets pinned shoplifting in China. I mean, there are a lot of things going on. And here we are, despite the bluster and the bold proclamations, the guy was kind of right.
Yeah.
The guy was kind of right. Two out of three, as you said, sons drafted in the lottery. The other thing, too, is and I don't know if this was always the case because the cameras weren't as intrusive. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
So maybe intrusive is the wrong, but a variation of the word intrusive.
Yeah.
When we would watch the draft back in the day, you know, you just wouldn't see the family structure. You would see mom and dad or whomever, agent, grandma, whomever, coach at the table.
Yeah.
And you know, the kids would be in the green room. But it seems like so many of these kids, and I've said this before, we have such a the young athlete is so much more sophisticated than they've ever been. I'm not going to say that they're smarter. That's mm-hmm. unfair to the previous generation.
Yeah.
But they are more worldly, I think is fair. They're more in tune with their emotions. I mean, every single kid broke down, was hysterical crying, which I thought was some of the ugly cries, really. Cole Anthony's cry was ugly. That yeah. was like, I mean, that was an ugly. I mean, I'm saying that with a smile, but that was an ugly cry for a great moment. But it was amazing to see the outpouring, just the guards down and the pinnacle of an achievement. And every house had that.
Yeah.
Every house.
Which is what
it was cool.
Mean, that was the NFL draft revelation as well, BT, when we saw all the families and even the one mom was like, get off my son. You know what I mean? She was
yeah.
pulling the kid, the girlfriend off the kid. Like you just saw this side of people that you don't see when they're, I don't know, churched up. They're churched up to go, you know, get drafted. And they're sitting at a table and it's contrived. It's not real. I think what we're seeing, and this is a result of the pandemic. It is what it is. We saw it with the NFL draft and now we just saw it with the NBA draft. You see this realness in people and the emotion of sharing with your family without the camera. I mean, the camera's there, obviously, uh-huh. but without like the camera being an intruder. It's more like just another character in the room, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you're at your home and there's a camera there, you still feel like you're being yourself. But when you're sitting at a dais or in a green room at an NBA or an NFL draft and there's a camera standing right there and there's three other people in the crew just grilling you, it's intimidating
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And so you put on a facade. Like you put it, this is how I'm supposed to act. Yeah, I'm cool, whatever. But when you're home with mom and dad, it's neat, man.
It is. And the other thing, too, you know, back to LaMelo for a moment, you look at the history of the Charlotte Hornets when they were first born to now, I mm-hmm. mean, where they are. And even though Alonzo was terrific and went on to great things, you know, Charlotte and he and Larry Johnson, they were both kind of chasing, and we've seen this before, both chasing the money, both chasing the fame. They had a falling out. Of course, Zoe goes to Miami, wins a championship, Hall of Famer, and but the marketability of Larry Johnson, because Zoe was marketable, but it was more like a scowl and a
yeah.
fierceness. You look at Larry Johnson before he hurt his back, Grandmama, the great Converse commercials. One of the, I think, truly one of the most original and fresh sneaker, and it's hard to distinguish yourself in the sneaker market, as we know.
Yeah.
That Grandmama bit with Larry Johnson was insane. And
now, you still remember it, you know what I mean?
Oh, of course. He had the dress on, the gray hair, the pearls, and they would just rise up and jam on you. And really, the bottom line now, I mean, Kemba Walker was good, but it's been, what, 3 decades since, provided that LaMelo Ball delivers, and I think most of us believe that he will eventually, they're going to have a marketability in that market, to be redundant, that they have not had in roughly 30 years.
Yeah.
Think about
right.
that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long
good.
Time.
I remember, you know, I saw a news, not whatever, it was just a report. Michael Jordan has cleared, you know, the team's executives to draft LaMelo Ball. I'm like, yeah, he's not falling past three. It's clear who Jordan wanted at number three. And so, yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the cool stories. The kid at number four, Patrick Williams, and I guess I realize this because I watched a little bit of Florida State. And
he wasn't the best player on the team.
I know, but he didn't play, really.
And he was not the best player on the Seminoles this
and
year.
So it's one of those situations where I think you have to just risk, you have to trust your scouts. You know what I mean? You have to trust these guys who spend their lives, and they're the overlooked and very important pieces in basketball. It's different in football, right? You can miss on a kid you're drafting in the second round or the third round or whatever it may be. You don't want to miss on the first rounders, but the latter parts of the NFL draft you can miss on. In the mm-hmm. NBA, it's if you're going to miss on the lottery, that's a wasted year or two, maybe
uh-huh.
three. And so sometimes you just got to trust these guys who are sight unseen but are putting in a lot of the hours.
I don't trust them.
I mean, but that's why this kid got drafted, though, BT.
I'm not saying specific to him.
Yeah.
I don't trust the scouts get it wrong more than
but
they
you
get
have
right.
to. You have to. And
no,
that, but
yeah.
that's what it looked. Why did he get drafted number four then?
Well, because probably somebody, I don't know that it was a general consensus, just
yeah.
because, I mean, somebody ultimately wins out with the choice doesn't mean it's the right choice.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all these Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I
mean, It doesn't mean it's wrong.
No,
it's just you got to trust.
But that was a curveball in the draft.
Very much so.
Wasn't the best player on Florida State.
BT, he didn't even start.
I think he started a couple. He was not
okay, whatever.
He
wasn't a regular starter.
No, but here's what, you know, with Hamilton, you're coming in, he's going to be a defensive player. It seemed a little ambitious at four.
Mm-hmm.
Are you buying the Obi Toppin hype? Are you buying this? Is this a start at the Garden?
You know, I liked him.
I
liked him yesterday, BT. I've liked him for a while, but I liked him yesterday when we were talking about who the Warriors should take because he can come in and contribute right away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're putting bets down for a rookie of the year, it's like he's likely to be the guy because he's at a place where there's not a ton of other scoring options.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a rim runner. As long as he can figure out offensively, you know, the X's and O's of this, he's going to get a lot of playing time. I think he's going to bring a ton of excitement back to the Garden. Not that there's going to be anybody there,
mm-hmm.
but still, I think I did like it for the Knicks. Now, whether or not it works out, that's to be determined.
I hope it does.
It's Leon Rose's first draft. Look, I'm optimistic, but
me too.
I'm not sure until it happens. You know what I mean? Because it's still the Knicks.
He's not a very strong defensive player at all, which is interesting because Thibodeau, if you're not playing defense, you're really not playing.
That's right.
And they said it about three times on TV last night. I don't really care that he was – I'm not saying that Toppin's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already on the record. I would have taken Halliburton. 2-3 years from now, we'll take the score, see who's right, whatever. But I don't care that he's a CAA client. Like, what does that mean to me? That means absolutely nothing. What they need to do now, and if they can do this, then I love the move rather than like the move. Trade Randall, okay, and you've got number one picks from Dallas and other.
Because Randall's sitting in front of him technically on the
depth chart. Get rid of Randall, who's a turnover machine and is never going to get better. Get rid of him. Get rid of Randall, package him to Houston, bring in Westbrook, right, and then sign Freddie VanVleet. Now, or sign Freddie VanVleet.
Dude, you trying to, like, compete now?
Well, I mean, listen.
I'm serious.
I'd like to, you know, try to vie for the 7 or the 8 seed.
I think you might be shooting low at 7 and 8 if you bring in Russell Westbrook and Freddie VanVleet.
It was a fun night. By the way, we're going to talk to Gerson Rosas, who is the T-Wolves president of basketball operations, on their thought process behind their selection of Anthony Edwards first overall. So we'll get to that coming up. We'll get Axe update right now, and we'll come back in a sense of what the Timberwolves war room was like after Ack. Here's Rich Ackerman. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network back, and we'll do it at an inbounds, out of bounds next hour. We'll get to the big matchup tonight. Should be all sorts of fun between the Cards and Seattle, both teams 6-3. But see if we get a chance now to speak with one of the main decision makers in the war room for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They had the first overall pick, and they take from Georgia Anthony Edwards, as we know, the 6'3 shooting guard, Bulldog to go top five. I said this on the show yesterday, Dominique Wilkins. So it's not a school that pumps out early lottery picks, but I'm sure Gerson Rosas, who is the president of basketball operations for Minnesota, he believes that he's gotten the next star from that school, and he's with us here on the show, Tiki and Tierney. Gerson, how are you today?
I'm good. Appreciate you being on with you both.
No, it's a pleasure. Take us into the strategy, because Gerson, the general consensus was, not that this necessarily matches your belief, but not our true number one. It could go a couple of ways. Could be Wiseman. Could be Edwards. Could be Bowl. At what point were you organizationally sold that, okay, we've identified our player, we're going number one, and that number one pick is going to be Anthony Edwards?
You know, we had an incredible advantage this year, and it's not something that we're all happy about, but being in a pandemic, you go from typically having 6 to 8 weeks to be prepared for a draft to this year having 6 to 8 months. And for us, as we ran our processes, our evaluations, our analysis, our due diligence, it was a very rewarding process for us. And the more we went through it, Anthony Edwards was a guy that really shined and continued to flourish and to stand off. I mean, you talk about, number one, an individual who reclassified to go to college early and should be a college freshman this year, playing at an SEC level and doing some of the things that he did there,
mm-hmm.
along with his physical and athletic tools. I mean, he's going to come into the NBA as one of the strongest wings, great size, great length, incredible athlete, but he has skill as well. He's a guy that can score. He's a guy that can play make. He's got some tools defensively where he can rebound, block shots, forced turnovers. So we saw an incredible amount of talent, incredible amount of upside, incredible amount of potential. But it's the type of wing that's really rewarded in the NBA right now. A big athlete, physical, strong, that can attack the basket. For us, we play an open court system, a lot of transition. Defensively, we want to switch, and he's a guy that can guard multiple positions as he develops into the future. So just too much talent. Very excited about his upside and who he can become in the future.
Yeah, now you mentioned his athleticism and his size, and we know that we now know that football was his favorite sport. He played basketball because he could dunk, and he had some interesting things to say about this, Gerson. And I'm wondering, did it bother you when he said, you know, football is my favorite sport, but you know, basketball is what I do, and I don't even like to watch basketball? Did that bother you or influence your in any way?
I mean, I think if you look at any prospect, there's things they said. You're talking about 18 or 19-year-olds. Mm-hmm. A lot of that can be taken out of context. But a big part of this process for us is the ability to spend time with all these individuals. And spending time with him, getting to know him, I think it's different. I think he's a young guy that's mature beyond his age because he's had to go through a lot in his life. And I like that about him. I like his grit. I like his toughness. Now, he's a guy who he's going to be honest with you, and he's transparent. You know, the media criticizes guys because they don't say anything, and then when they say something, they criticize them as well. Ant is just a dude who, if you ask him a question, he's going to answer you. But he's young, and he's naive, and he's still figuring things out. But he's got a special spirit. He's a guy that is passionate and has joy. I love that he plays two stars. I love that we've got a guy that's a former football player that's not afraid of contact and is physical and is aggressive. To me, those are positives. Those aren't negatives. And I really feel like in our organization, in our environment, our ability to develop him, he's going to be not only the best player, but the best person he can become.
Yeah.
And the reality is, it's not just about making the right selection. It's about step two, which is developing the guy. Step three, putting him in a position to be successful. And at the end of the day, step four, which is his responsibility and him maximizing his talent.
So we'll talk to Gerson Rosas, who is the president of basketball operations for the Timberwolves. And as we describe Edwards' skill set, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm thinking, I think Jimmy Butler would have enjoyed playing with him. Right, Gerson? let me ask you about Karl Anthony Towns. Let's get a little bit deeper into the roster here. Teak and I met him when he was first drafted, and you know, he's got aspirations to be a doctor. You know how he's wired. He's an incredibly smart young man. He's a great kid. He's a great person. Great head on his shoulders. He's got a great basketball skill set. Almost always healthy. I mean, first couple of years played 82 games every year. Mm-hmm. Hits his free throws. Hits threes. Not a great athlete, but a good athlete. Good passer. Why have the wins not translated the way many of us thought that they would? I'm not dumping it out on Karl Anthony's doorstep, obviously, but as the linchpin for this franchise, there's got to be a correlation to, you know, how he performs and how the team does. What's missing?
I think that's a fair question, but you really have to dig into the analysis. Number one, the number of changes that have been a part of this organization, whether it's leadership or coaches during his tenure there, is concerning for a young player, and the changes in system and philosophies, that's something that we want to get away from. We want to build a sustainable model of success here. But Karl Anthony Towns is probably the most skilled big in the NBA, definitely the best shooting big. If you can put a big in a situation where he can be a 40-50-90 guy, that's incredibly rare, and that's the conversation he's in right now. You know, the reality is now, you know, he just turned 25. The reality is we want these guys to have success overnight, and it doesn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to be in Houston for a long time, and James Harden doesn't win an MVP until he's 29. Hakeem Olajuwon didn't win a championship until he was 33. You know, with Kat, we're challenging him and ramping him up to where when he enters his prime as a 27, 28, 29-year-old, he's playing at the highest level for meaningful things, and that's my job. It's building the system, bringing the players in that complement him, and challenging him to become the best player he can be on both ends. And we all carry that responsibility. It's not going to happen overnight, But there's a commitment and there's a passion to do the work here in Minnesota, and it's what got us excited right now.
Yeah, no, you should be. And, you know, you have a scouting background, so you understand the roster construction side of this. But when you look at Anthony Edwards, was he brought in because you guys saw him as the best available, or was this a specific, he's going to fit perfectly with Cat and D'Angelo
Russell?
You know, was it more of a fit thing, or was this because he was just the best player in your estimation in this draft?
Our strategy is 100% best player available. And we're fortunate that as we went through this process, as we went through this decision, having Carl and having D'Angelo gave us all the options.
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo is a guy that can play on the ball, off the ball. So we would, you know, we were open to taking point guards. Cat is, with his skill level, is a guy that you can play inside and out. So that allowed us to evaluate all bigs. But at the end of the day, through every process, through our analysis, through our projections, through our evaluations, you know, Anthony Edwards is just head and shoulders above those other guys. And the ability for us to put them in our system and really maximize them, you know, it added another layer to it. So fit was secondary to talent. Our major focus was finding the most talented player in the draft, and we feel confident we did that.
Got about 30 seconds here. I want to throw two quick ones at you real quick. Gerson Rosas, by the way, the president of basketball operations for the T-Wolves here on Tiki and Tierney. Number one, when you guys woke up yesterday morning, organizationally, did you know for sure it was absolutely Edwards at 7 in the morning on draft day?
We absolutely know. We've actually known for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
A matter of you got to play out the trade scenarios and the value of whether we were going to pick or not.
And that was question number two. Was the phone ringing? A lot of teams trying to engage you guys for a swap in number one with a trade or no?
Absolutely. No, we had ongoing conversations throughout after we won the lottery, and we took it all the way down to the clock, because that's my job. I got to make sure that I look at every opportunity to help the organization. But at the end of the day, when it came time to make a decision, you know, for us, Anthony Edwards was the right decision, and to not trade.
Well, listen, best of luck with the pick. It's a vibrant sports market, as you know. We've been there for the Super Bowl, the mm-hmm. Vikings, the Twins are good again, which is great. Get those T-Wolves back to where they were not that long ago. It's going to be really good for the city. So appreciate you hopping on. That's Gerson Rosas from the T-Wolves. Thank you very much, Gerson. Appreciate it, buddy.
No, thank you, guys. Enjoyed catching up. Appreciate
it. Take care.
We'll be back. We'll have you back on for sure. Yeah, no doubt.
He is he's an interesting cat, man.
Yeah.
And he's straightforward, tells you exactly how it is, knows exactly what he wants to say, but he also worked closely with Daryl Morey in Houston, so he's got a pedigree.
Hey,
success.
No question. And the only thing I wanted to let him speak, I know we had limited time. The only thing about Carl Anthony Towns, how we kind of describe that timeline of getting him ready, you know, in his prime, at his apex when he's 29. The NBA is a little different. The comparison to Hakeem at the age of 33, that was 1994. Usually, guys are a little quicker to win, but we'll see. Hour two coming up. The game tonight, football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.